Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1 tonight. Tonight we get to kick off a brand new sermon series, and I'm really excited about it. I've been thinking and planning about this sermon series for a long time now, like almost a year. It's crazy. And it's just finally the right time for us to do it. But we're going to be studying through the book of Proverbs. This sermon series is called A Good Fear, and you're going to find out what that means tonight as we kick off our first night. But we're going to do this sermon series all the way through to spring break, and so we're going to look at different Proverbs. So if the Bible is our guidebook to a right relationship with God, then the book of Proverbs is our practical field manual of the Bible that guides us on how to live the life that the Lord gave us. So let me first give the disclaimer that if you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have no hope of successfully applying and living out what this book, what this guidebook is going to tell you to do. You have no hope if you don't have Jesus Christ of doing what this book is going to tell you to do. There's no possible way that we could possibly live our lives for Christ without Christ first breaking through the barriers of our sin and then coming to dwell and live inside of us. There's no amount of doing enough of these good and wise things that are mentioned in this book of Proverbs that will earn us a spot in heaven. They won't repay for the past sins that we've committed. Only the work of Jesus Christ can do that. So through Jesus Christ's work on the cross and our surrender to it, to that truth, we're given the ability and we're actually empowered by the Jesus living inside us to live the life that God created us to live, using his perfect and good wisdom that's found in the book of Proverbs. So the word proverb literally means wise saying. These are the wise sayings of God given to us so that we can use them. Proverbs is a tool to help us be wise, to help us in our decision making, to help us as we live our life. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be learning a ton about this great tool and how to use it. First, the title of tonight's sermon is called Wisdom Begins with a Good Fear. Go ahead and write that down if you're taking notes. Wisdom begins with a good fear. If the book of Proverbs is God's wise sayings, is his wisdom given to us, then wisdom begins with a good fear. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline and help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. And here we go. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So this morning, this very morning, I'm in the bathroom getting ready. I'm putting beard oil in, hair gunk in my hair, all the cool hipster stuff that I like to do in the morning. My two-year-old son, Beckham, comes in, wanders in the bathroom, and lately he just wants to get into everything. He wants to grab everything that he sees off the counter. He wants to discover it for 5 seconds, and then he wants to move on to the next hands-off item of the moment for another 5 seconds. All this is happening, and I'm giving him instruction. I'm combing my hair, and I hear, "That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. I don't like it." I turn around. He had picked up a bar of soap that looked really pretty, bright colors, and he had taken a bite out of it. Going, "That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. I don't like it." I had just finished telling him not to touch anything without asking me first. And I'd even given him a string cheese stick to distract him. Yet he was still enticed enough to resist my warning. And so Bree and I are in this phase right now with my two-year-old, Beckham, and in the first few years of his life, we're establishing with him a few very basic and good truths. Three of them, to be exact. One, that we are his authority. We're establishing that truth with him. Two, that authority is a good thing for his good and for his protection. And three, to trust and obey our authority at all times. In a word, we're establishing respect. Now, once I realized that he had the bar of soap in his mouth, even after I warned him not to touch anything in the bathroom because it won't lead to anything good. That's one of my favorite phrases to tell him. That won't lead to anything good. I didn't smack him on the back of the head and yell at him. Instead, I said, spit it out quick, buddy. Spit it out quick. It can hurt you. Yep, you can spit it out on the floor. It's fine. It doesn't taste good, does it? That's why Daddy warned you. You need to listen and obey because I'm protecting you from bad things, Beckham. So the more I can help my two sons understand that I am here for their good and that my guidelines that I give them are for their good, then I can begin to establish this respect-based authority in their lives as their dad. I don't want him to resist temptation because he's afraid of dad. I want him to resist temptation because he's afraid of what he's resisting, and he trusts dad's word about it. I want him to have a good fear, established by respect for his loving authority, the heart of his father. I don't want him to dread me and be filled with terror. I want him to know that he can trust me and respect me because I love him and I want good things for him. I want him instead to dread the harmful things, the harmfulness of what I'm warning him against. So this is the foundation for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The book of Proverbs is a collection of short literary works written down mostly by King Solomon, one of the wisest, godliest men to ever walk the earth, as a result of a close relationship with his Father God. This wasn't good advice from Uncle Saul. This is a lifetime of close walking with his Heavenly Father. This is the stuff that his Heavenly Father had told him. These are the words and wisdom of God that he had compiled over his life and written down to pass down because God told him to. So write this down. Proverbs are the wisdom and instruction of God himself given for us. Wisdom begins with a good fear. Proverbs 1:1-7, we read that section. It ends with, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. We will only trust and follow Proverbs if we know and fear God. But what about verse 7? What is it about this verse that really makes us stop and think? It's fear. Now, I fear a few things, and some of you guys that have known me for a few years, you know that I fear a few things, dreadful things. I fear glitter. I fear hospitals. I fear snakes. Put a glitter snake in a hospital room and lock the door with me, and you'll hear how pitched I can scream. Where's the sound? But that's not the kind of fear that Proverbs 1:7 is talking about. It can't be. The kind of fear that when we think of our modern equivalent, it just doesn't match the God that we've come to know in Scripture. So write this down. A good fear, a holy fear, is reverent trust. I think of a good fear this way. Most of you guys, you've heard my story a few times of when I got lost on a hike in the mountains when I was in college. I was with a group, and we were hopelessly lost. We were in danger, and the sun was setting. And no lie, the fire department and the forest rangers had mounted a search and rescue party to find us, and they found us right before the sun went down. So I've changed since then. I still love to hike. In fact, I do it more now. But when I go into the woods or the mountains, I now carry with me a good fear and common sense because that mountain is greater than I am. So I respect it and I know my limits to keep myself safe and to keep my life enjoyable. So God made us. And he did so simply because it pleased him to do so, is what Scripture says. He desired a worshipful relationship, and so he created mankind. In turn, he deserves our worship. He deserves our reverence. Now, here's what reverence really means, according to the dictionary. Reverence is a deep respect for someone or something. It's high esteem, high regard, acclaim, admiration, appreciation, favor. In fact, the dictionary says that the opposite of reverence is scorn and hatred. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And the sin infected all of our hearts. It's inherent from the moment we're born. And we fell out of this perfect relationship, this perfect worship relationship that God had created for us. We fell out of this good standing with the Holy Creator and our Father God. But instead of reacting in anger and terror, he pursued us with his love and grace, like a good father does. This is who he is. This is the kind of dad he is. And he wants all of his creation to know these basic truths. That one, he, God, is our authority. Two, authority is a good thing for our good and for our protection. And three, to trust and obey his authority at all times. He warned Adam and Eve, the first man and woman that he created, the only man and woman that's experienced that perfect relationship with God before they fell to sin. And I really do believe that Adam and Eve fully understood how terrible sin is because they had experienced a life without sin before it. As a believer, part of your surrender and salvation process is understanding how terrible your sin is and that you need God to save you from it. You need to repent to him and choose to follow him. But Adam and Eve, they must have really known on such a deeper level than we will probably ever know how horrible sin and its consequences are, because they actually lived a life before sin in perfect relationship with God. They knew what they had, so they knew what they lost. God had created this paradise garden for them to thrive in. And he warned them against eating from the bar of soap. No, I'm just kidding. He warned them against eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He warned them because he loved them, because he knew they'd be tempted, tested, and they tasted the fruit. Because they thought that God was holding out on them. Really, what that opened the door to is something terrible that he was protecting them from. That act of disobedience, something simple as eating a piece of fruit, was really the frame of heart of rebellion against a God that deserved all of their trust and worship and obedience. What it did is it opened the door to that garden for sin, pain, and death to enter. It entered paradise. As a result, it entered our lives the moment that we came into this world. This perfect relationship he created us to have with him was broken because of sin, our sin. Because of the rejection of his authority, his good authority. Jesus had to die for us because we rejected God's authority in our sin. So these are the stakes, ladies and gentlemen. This is how big a deal this is. God warns us against sin and foolishness because he loves us. He knows how terrible and vicious and toxic sin is because all of our sin was placed on his own perfect son, and it killed him. And even though God knew that he would raise his son Jesus Christ from the grave 3 days later, it still hurt. It still cost him greatly, so much so that Scripture says when his son took his last breath, he turned his face away. He just couldn't face it anymore. That's how deeply he loves us. So much that it hurts. Now, understanding his motivation in love and grace helps us establish reverence for him. It helps us establish this good fear that we need to have. It realigns our worship back to our Father God. God created us. He knows us best, better than we know ourselves. And he wants to see you and I thrive, not just survive. He created a good garden for Adam and Eve and a good life to make all of these wonderful things happen for them. He created something for them that they ruined. But the good news is that for you and I, he created a path back to a thriving paradise in heaven through his son, Jesus Christ. And he gives his wisdom in the book of Proverbs in order to equip you and I as Christians to walk that path safely. So that when you and I get to the final destination, we're standing toe-to-toe in paradise in heaven with Jesus Christ again because of what he did, not what we did. That we know we got there safely and honoring to him. So the key to understanding verse 7 where it says, a fear of the Lord, is to look back on verses 1 through 6. So we're going to break it down real quick. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. He gives his title first, and Solomon was known as the greatest king to ever have lived, ever have ruled. He was the richest man that had ever walked the face of the earth. He is giving his title and his authority on the matter, saying, guys, I know what I'm talking about here. Verse 2, he says, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. So wisdom is correction and understanding. God gives us both correction, and he gives us understanding as a result. Some of my good friends, whenever they have to give their little boys, a spanking, discipline, they call it correction. I'm going to have to give you some correction. Because all they're trying to do is lovingly steer their child back onto the right path. Wisdom is good. And wisdom is from God alone, according to Scripture. And so, therefore, God is good. Verse 3, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. God is helping us be like Jesus again through giving us the Proverbs. Wisdom is understanding the difference between right and wrong in God's eyes. Verse 4, these Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. There's so much in this verse, but what it's doing is it's elevating the people that don't really believe in themselves very much. It's elevating the people that are simple, saying, look, you can have not a lot of knowledge in the world's eyes, but if you have God's wisdom, then you're elevated. And he says, knowledge and discernment to the young. He's basically saying that wisdom is not from age or experience. It's a gift from God that he gives. Because it's all about following the Lord, not acquiring knowledge in the world. I know a lot of older people who are extremely unwise, no matter how many times they repeat mistakes, because they're simply not walking with the Lord in order to learn from those things and gain his wisdom, his correction, and understanding. So wisdom is not from age or experience. It's a gift from God. It's not earned. It's a gift. Verse 5 and 6, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. So guidance, it's not condemning. Guidance is not condemnation. The guidance that God gives us is not condemning to us. Guidance comes from a helping heart. The helping heart of a loving father who wants to train and instill. And it says to explore the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise. He's basically telling us, know the heart of God and his guidelines. Dive into God's word. This is his truth that he left us. You don't have to, honestly, this is out of my notes, but honestly, if you're going to everyone else and everything else for advice instead of Scripture, then you're starting in the wrong place. God gave us his complete truth, all that we need right here. We read it. If we lack understanding on it, then you go to a mature believer and ask them, and you pray alongside that, and God will confirm it. And then 7, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom, and they despise discipline. So verse 7, as we close tonight, suggests that there is a choice. to receive and apply, or to reject. So as we kick off this sermon series, you're going to hear things that maybe when you're sitting in here on a Wednesday night, you're saying, yeah, of course, yeah, that sounds great. But when it comes to the rest of your time throughout the week, and you're challenged to actually follow the wisdom that you're going to find in God's word and apply it to your life, or do you want to go your own way? Do you want to follow the world's knowledge? That's going to be the test, the choice to receive and apply or to reject God's truth. So I'm going to ask you three questions. One, do you love God? Do you trust him? Do you fear him out of reverence? That's what it's going to take for you to grow as we embark on this study of the book of Proverbs.